In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, we are just 2 days away now from beginning the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy, which will begin on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception this Tuesday, December the 8th. And what a beautiful year of mercy this is going to be for the Church. I'd like to go through with you this morning some of the points of Pope Francis's letter to Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who taught some of my classmates at the Gregorian University. Now, Archbishop Rino Fisichella is the president on the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization. And in this document, he talks about the indulgences that are to be granted to the faithful during this Jubilee Year of Mercy. He says in the document, "I wish that the Jubilee indulgence may reach each one as a genuine experience of God's mercy, which comes to meet each person in the face of the Father, who welcomes and forgives, forgetting completely the sin committed." Isn't that beautiful? So that everyone can have a genuine experience of God's mercy, who welcomes and forgives, forgetting completely the sin committed. And so we'll get to talk about that often throughout the Jubilee year, that God not only forgives, but that He forgets our beautiful sin. He forgets out of His beautiful mercy our sins. Now, part of the Jubilee indulgence is related to the Holy Door, which the Holy Father, you know, is going to open the Holy Door in 2 days at the Basilica of St. Peter's. It's there off to the right, right next to the wonderful statue of the Pietà by Michelangelo. He's going to open that door on Tuesday, December the 8th. And then next Sunday, on Gaudete Sunday, he's going to open the Holy Door at the Cathedral Basilica of St. John Lateran. And as he does that, all the bishops throughout the world will be opening the Holy Doors at their respective cathedrals. And there's a special grace that the Holy Father gives in going through these holy doors. The holy doors at the basilicas in Rome, but also at the holy doors at the cathedrals throughout the world. Of course, the indulgence, the Holy Father says, is always, always entails a good integral confession, the reception, the worthy reception of Holy Communion, and of course, as always, a prayer for the Pope's intentions. Those are the usual things for granting an indulgence, right? We have to be in a state of grace, right? So we have to have all venial and mortal sins removed in the sacrament of penance, and we can't be attached to our sins either. That's quite big, isn't it? We have to receive communion, and we have to pray for the Pope's intentions. Now, what else do we have to do? Well, here we have to go through the Holy Door, and we have to, there's a couple other things that the Pope says here, which is very important. He says it is necessary to accompany these celebrations with the profession of faith. So we have to say the Apostles' Creed, or as many of you know, your beautiful act of faith. We have to have a profession of faith in addition to these normal things. And he says, which is really beautiful, he says, a reflection on mercy. We have to reflect on God's mercy. And that's all there is to it. It's really simple to gain the indulgence, right? Confession, communion, prayer for the Pope's intentions, saying the Apostles' Creed, going through the Holy Door, wherever that Holy Door may be, and then reflecting all God's mercy. Now, because the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion, the Holy Father is giving an outpouring of mercy in his document. He talks about those who, for various reasons, is impossible to enter a holy door. And he's particularly thinking about the sick and the elderly and the homebound. But the Pope has provided a way for them to receive this indulgence. So he says in the document that they may receive Holy Communion, attend Holy Mass, if it's in the nursing home, for example. He says, even through the various means of communication, like the television mass, he says, for them, it will be the means of obtaining the Jubilee indulgence. Further, he says, what about the imprisoned? What about our brothers and sisters who are confined to a prison? How can they receive the Jubilee indulgence? He says that they can receive the indulgence in the chapels of the prisons. And so, getting a priest to hear their confession, bring them Holy Communion, prayer for the Pope's intention, that they can do, prayer of faith, right, Apostles' Creed, plus meditating on God's mercy, they can gain the indulgence. The Pope says something very beautiful here. He says that each time they cross the threshold of their cell, it will be as if they're passing through the holy door. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the Pope says there's another way you can gain the indulgence. He says you can gain the indulgence, he says, each time that one of the faithful personally performs one or more of these actions, he shall surely obtain the Jubilee indulgence. What action is he talking about? The corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Now, hopefully you have memorized all of the seven corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Especially in this year of mercy, it's really important to renew those corporal and spiritual works of mercy with your children and grandchildren so that they know them, that they have them memorized. Why is it important to have them memorized? Because now you can gain the Jubilee indulgence by doing them. Isn't that beautiful? The normal conditions that apply. Right? So that's another way to gain the Jubilee indulgence. He says, furthermore, the Jubilee indulgence can be obtained for the deceased. Isn't that beautiful? That's always the case, of course, but he says we are bound to them by the witness of faith and charity that they've left us. So not only can you gain the indulgence for yourself, right? But we can engage it. We can gain the indulgence for the holy souls in purgatory. I love that the Holy Father has mentioned that in his letter. Don't forget the holy souls in purgatory. Don't make the indulgence just about gaining all these indulgences for yourself, but especially for those who have died. Now, the last two paragraphs of this letter are very important. In the last two paragraphs of this letter, in this paragraph, the Holy Father says this. He gives here, which is very beautiful, he says that I have decided to concede to all priests for the Jubilee year the discretion to absolve of the sin of abortion those who have procured it. Wow. I have decided to concede to all priests for the Jubilee year the discretion to absolve the sin of abortion to those who have procured it and with a contrite heart seek forgiveness for it. Isn't that beautiful? Now, that may beg some other questions, though. Like, don't I have the power to forgive the sin of abortion now?
What about up until Tuesday? What happens? How does all of that work? In the past, if someone's confessed the sin of abortion, is it not forgiven? What's going on here? What does the Holy Father mean here? I think it's important to remember that there's a distinction between a power and the use of a power. When I was ordained a priest, I received a permanent, indelible power to change bread and wine into Jesus' body and blood, the power to forgive sins, the power to witness marriages, all kinds of other things, the power to confirm, right? I have the power to confirm someone in the Catholic faith and sacrament, the power to anoint the sick, right? All those powers. But I don't have the use of those powers unless I have permission from the bishop. Do I? I can't hear confessions unless the bishop gives me permission. I can't celebrate Mass with a congregation unless the bishop gives me permission. I can't witness marriages unless a validly installed pastor gives me permission to witness marriages. So I have the power, but I can't use the power that I have unless authority has been given to me from above. Makes sense, right? So what's happening with an abortion? I have the power to forgive absolutely every sin by virtue of my ordination. But there are some situations that I cannot use that power unless I have permission. And as you know, the sin of abortion is so serious. It's such grave matter because it involves the deliberate, intentional taking of an innocent human life from the womb of the mother. It's such a grave sin that the church attaches to it the penalty automatic excommunication. And although I have the power to forgive the sin of abortion, I do not have the power to remove the penalty of the excommunication incurred through the sin of abortion. Only the bishop has the power to remove the penalty incurred with the sin of abortion, the penalty of excommunication. Only the bishop has that faculty, has that power. I can't forgive people's sins if there is a penalty in place that's blocking the way for the forgiveness. So the penalty has to be removed first before the sin is forgiven. Now, in this diocese, I don't know what the case is in other dioceses. In this diocese, in the Diocese of Winona, the bishop has given to priests the faculty to remove the penalty of the excommunication incurred with the sin of abortion only in the first instance. So in this diocese, if a person goes to confession to a priest, and this is the first time they've confessed their abortion, or abortions, this is the first time they've confessed that, I have the faculty to remove the penalty of excommunication and hence forgive the sin. But if that same person goes out and commits more abortions and then comes back to confession again, I do not have the faculty to remove the penalty of the excommunication in any instances after that. I have to go to the bishop and get permission. Until Tuesday. On Tuesday, beginning Tuesday, December the 8th, in the year of our Lord 2015, and continuing all the way until November the 20th, 2016, every single day during the Jubilee Year of Mercy, every validly ordained Roman Catholic priest who has faculties to hear confession from their bishop has permission from the Pope directly all over the world to remove the penalty of the excommunication and forgive the sin. Wow. Isn't that awesome? What a great year of mercy.
it's going to be. That's what that paragraph is all about.
The last paragraph may interest you. He says, a final consideration concerns those faithful who, for various reasons, choose to attend churches officiated by priests of the fraternity of St. Pius X. The Pope says, the Jubilee year for mercy excludes no one. He says, I trust that in the near future, solutions may be found to recover full communion with these priests and superiors of the fraternity. So he's praying for unity. He says, in the meantime, I establish that those who during the Holy Year of Mercy approach these priests of the fraternity of St. Pius X to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, they shall validly and licitly receive the absolution of their sins. Isn't that great? Now notice, remember, you cannot hear confessions validly unless I have faculties to hear confessions validly from the bishop. What the Pope is doing here is really interesting. He's not giving to the Society of Pius X priests the faculty to hear confessions. He's not doing that. What he's doing is he's giving the penitent a special favor in the law. It's a special favor that the Pope is granting not to the priests, but to the penitent. He's granting to the penitent that if they should go to confession to a priest of the Society of Pius X, that their sins would be validly and licitly absolved. Because the Jubilee year of mercy excludes no one. This is the time for mercy. The Pope said in his homily for Vespers and Divine Mercy Sunday on the 11th of April in the year of our Lord 2015, his first Vespers, he said, this is the time for mercy. This is the time to offer everyone, everyone, he said it twice, everyone, the way of forgiveness and reconciliation. Wow. This is the time to offer everyone the way of forgiveness and reconciliation. What a grace-filled year this is going to be. And you know that the way to forgiveness and reconciliation is not the way we've made. It's the one way that God made for us for forgiveness and reconciliation. The only way to forgiveness and reconciliation is Jesus Christ. That's why he says to offer everyone the way to forgiveness and reconciliation. It is only through our merciful Savior, Jesus Christ. What a year of mercy this is going to be. This is the time for mercy. We know that there will come a time for justice. We know that at the end of our life, there will be no more opportunities to plead for God's mercy. We know that at the end of our life, we will knock at the door and cry out, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And Jesus will say, I tell you, do not know you. And we'll say, well, Jesus, we ate and drank in your company. And Jesus will say, I tell you, I do not know you. And Jesus says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's some modern song that says, when we see the king, there'll be no more crying there. That's heretical. It's not biblical. I can guarantee you when people see the king at the end of their life, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. There will be lots of crying when we see the king. Unless we repent now. Now is the time for mercy. Now is the time to offer everyone Jesus Christ, the only way to forgiveness and reconciliation. I pray that this Jubilee Year of Mercy will be, as Pope Francis says, for believers and for those far away, a year of profound mercy, a year of profound encounter with the face of the Father who welcomes and forgives, forgiving completely the sin committed. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. Forever. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.